Free money. That's what the government of Finland is planning to do later this year, eliminating social service programs and replacing it with just an allowance, essentially. On Scott Ott Podcast, episode number 41, we discuss that idea originally dreamed up by Milton Friedman. In Finland, this year, they are about to embark on an experiment that, believe it or not, I mean, you think Finland, a bunch of socialists, believe it or not, economist Milton Friedman, one of my heroes, would be excited about. Milton Friedman would probably be excited about. Now, the fancy term for what they're about to do is the negative income tax. Negative income tax. However, another term for it is universal basic income. And you say, wait a minute, that sounds like universal healthcare. Why would anybody want to do universal basic income? And, you know, income tax, nobody likes the sound of that. Negative income tax, that sounds interesting. I'm not sure which would be the better marketing term. But here's the deal. Here's how it works. Basically, in Finland, they're going to give everybody a basic income per month. And it works out to when you know, in euros, I'm not going to tell you how many euros it is, but in dollars, it would be roughly $900 a month. So they're paying everybody $900 a month. The government is. That money has to be declared on your income tax. But if you're poor, you're not paying income tax. And so, you know, as we have been reminded recently, most people at the lower end of the income scale pay no income tax at all. What they do have to pay is Medicare, Social Security, FICA, you know. So $900 a month. And here's the deal. You declare it on your income tax. But if you get a job, let's say you have no job and you're getting this $900 a month. If you get a job, you don't lose the $900. See, one of the criticisms of social welfare programs in the United States has been if you start earning income, at a certain point, they start phasing out your benefits. And usually it's just at that break point where it's not enough and you can't quite make a go of it on the income that you're getting for your job. And then they pull away the government supplement of housing or food stamps or whatever, the other kinds of care that are provided through social services, and you don't quite have enough to make it. And so in some ways, it incentivizes people to stay on social services, to stay on what we used to euphemistically call welfare. And there are a variety of those programs, supplemental nutrition. What do they call that? Supplemental nutrition SNAP or something like that. And then there's temporary assistance for needy families, TANF. Unpronounceable acronyms. Anyway, what the Finnish are going to do in Finland this year is they're going to start paying people $900 a month. Everybody, even if you're rich, you're going to get paid $900 a month. But if you're rich, you also get taxed. And so I'm sure their tax rate is healthy. this article that I read about this, it was in City Journal. And I don't know what the tax rate in Finland is, but I'm sure it's smarts if you're wealthy. So in effect, they're going to take a lot of that money back if you're a wealthy person. But if you're a poor person, you're not. They're not. They're going to let you keep that $900 a month as you start earning more money if you're poor, so you don't lose that. And so you don't have that quandary about, hey, wow, how can I keep paying my bills? It's almost more profitable to not have a job. They want to get rid of that incentive. They're also eliminating a lot of their social welfare programs. Most social welfare programs will go away to be replaced by this universal basic income or negative income tax that you'll get paid every month. And now what this is, there are pros and cons of all of this, but what I like about this is that the social welfare programs always have an element of coercion. It's essentially the government trying to tell you, the recipient of welfare, how to live your life. And as a result, most people don't respond very well to that. I mean, they may try to go along with it in some cases. They may just say they're going along with it, having no intention of going along with it. In any case, the government telling you how to run your life is something that is anathema to those of us who are of a libertarian / conservative / small government bent. Now, it's funny because some of my conservative brethren who are all about liberty, there are places where they're not all about liberty. For example, they think, hey, if we're giving poor people money, then we should be able to tell them what to do. And I was like, okay, well, if you're giving poor people money, like, you know, one of your kids or something, and you say, well, you know, I'm going to help you pay for that car, but that means you're not going to have any crazy parties in my house or whatever. You have the ability to do that. But collectively through the government for us to tell people what to do, that is employing the force of government, which is an awkward weapon. And it's bound to do harm, and it strips people of their dignity. So the government is going to take in money from taxes in Finland. They're going to pay out $900 a month to everybody. The rich people will pay, I'm sure, a confiscatory level of taxes on that. But the poor people will have a regular guaranteed income, which they can add to by getting a job if they don't already have one. And they will then lose most of the social welfare programs, the housing programs and things like that, that help them get along. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't this mean that somebody could take their $900 a month and just go out and buy vodka? Yes. Yes, it does. But the thing is, people can buy vodka anyway. And the whole idea here is that people must learn to be responsible. And the way people learn to be responsible is by having responsibility, rather than being able to point to the government and saying, oh, it's those people in the government, they're making me do this, they're making me live here, they're making me get this kind of food, they're making me do, you know, get this kind of health care. And instead of blaming other people, you'll now have your income that's enough to live on, you know, at a basic level, and it's your responsibility. If you blow that all on vodka or hookers, you have screwed up. You lost the money. And there's not going to be a welfare safety net that's going to catch you and say, hey, clumsy, here we go. Let's give it another shot and we'll take care of you. I like the idea of the government saying, we're not going to take care of you. Now, ultimately, do I think the government should be giving people money? No, not at all. But I also realize that when you've got somebody completely hooked, you can't impose a cold turkey solution to that without causing chaos. Now, if I were a cigarette smoker and I was hooked and I imposed a cold turkey solution on myself, that's a different matter. But to lock me in a room and say, okay, Scott, this is what we're going to do to you. We're going to break you. By the same token, when you've got people who have grown dependent upon government assistance when it comes to housing or food or healthcare or whatever are the other kinds of clothing, then to cut them off cold, I think may cause more problems than you're willing to deal with. So I like the idea that people would be responsible for what they do with their $900 from the Finnish government. That said, I'd also like it to get to the point that the economy starts to grow, people start getting jobs, and fewer people even need that stuff, and maybe they can taper it off. My guess is they're committed to this forever and ever until, you know, some liberal group gets up on their high horse and says, hey, let's go back to the good old days when the government was telling all the poor people what to do and how to live and paying for their abortions and stuff like that. So you need, if you're in Finland, to take responsibility for your own well-being, and you've got essentially an allowance. That's what it is. I mean, it's allowance. And it was when my grandfather used to give us a small allowance each week, which I think started off at like a quarter, you know, and then you'd buy candy with it or whatever. But the allowance was always the same, no matter, you know, how desperately you thought you needed more. That's at the time when my grandfather and grandmother were taking care of every need that we really had. But, you know, it's, if you blew your allowance, it's gone, and you'll have to wait till next Wednesday when we go to the supermarket, when the allowances were handed out. So do I think that Finland has this so-called Finnish model, which is what they're calling it now, this article I read in City Journal called it the Finnish model. Do I think it's the ultimate solution? No, I don't think government should be involved in the charitable business at all. I think that really needs to be done at the family level, communities of faith involved in that, volunteers, people who come together and help their neighbors. That's what I think the ultimate solution is. But do I think it's better than having armies of government-employed social service people who are basically telling poor people how to live their lives and giving and stripping them of their dignity, not intentionally. These government workers who are in the social services fields are some of the kindest, most compassionate people you want to meet, but they have guidelines. And so you have got to live by 1,000 government rules. I like the idea of saying, here's your $900. You can invest part of it. You can, buy sensible things, or you can blow it on, gambling and vodka. That's your choice, but you have responsibility. It is your responsibility. Now there are some considerations that are beyond this that they're going to obviously have to work out. You know, what do you do with people who are mentally ill, who don't have caretakers and are living on their own? You know, how do you deal with those kind of situations? I don't know how they're going to deal with what in the United States has become considered a mental illness, which is addicted people. But in any case, it's a cool idea. In a perfect federalist world, if we had such a thing, if the United States were a republic and we were really living according to the rules of federalism, I'd love to see some state try this. You know, basically take all the state level programs out and just make a straight cash distribution to people and say, okay, here's what you get. If you get a job, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine, but that's all you get. So I think it's a fascinating idea. And I don't think that we should shoot it down too quickly. I know there's a tendency to sacrifice the good on the altar of the perfect, you know, because in my mind, the sort of platonic ideal of charity and social welfare happens at the personal level, at the family level, at the community level, at the church and synagogue level. That's what I want. But am I willing to try something different? Absolutely. I mean, somebody's got to make a clean break with this system that has grown into a monstrosity. I've recommended this before, but if you haven't read Marvin Olansky's book, The Tragedy of American Compassion, Google it right now. Go to Amazon.com. The Tragedy of American Compassion. And it is fascinating. He tracks the history of the American so-called compassion industry and sees how it was run as a very personal and accountable and Spartan kind of enterprise in the 1800s, 1800s, but starting with the Progressive Era and then reaching its full, fruition or flower in the 1960s, it became this government-run monstrosity where there's a little accountability, lots of waste. The word Spartan is never heard, and unfortunately, it has stripped people of their dignity and destroyed, for example, the African-American community in the United States. You know, did you know that the African-American employment rate was generally about the same? The marriage rate was generally about the same as the Caucasian-American, or whatever we call those of us who are, slightly pink, as I am, and orange usually. There wasn't this vast difference between how the black family and the white families were operating. There was more stability in the black community. There was not the epidemic of fatherless children growing up and having that cycle of school dropouts and into jail and out of jail and into jail and out of jail and illegitimate children and stuff like that. That stuff really started to change for the worse for the African-American community when the 1960s came along. And frankly, the mainline churches pressured the government into consolidating welfare programs and guaranteeing people that they had an entitlement. It was really the mainline churches that came up with that idea that there's this entitlement program. So I'm excited that somebody's trying something. And if it's in Finland, fine. Let's keep an eye on that. Let's see how it goes. They're going to start sometime this year, and I would love to see. I mean, I hope it gets off the ground. I hope somebody doesn't kill it. You know, somebody in the EU stands up at the European Union Council and says, wait, we can't do this. Is Finland even in the EU? Who cares about the EU? I have no idea. So let's keep an eye on what happens with the Finnish model. Maybe it'll turn out to be the Nebraska model or some other state will adopt that, and we'll see how it works. Obviously, there are going to be unintended consequences. There'll be unexpected things that happen. But it's better than having this army. I mean, think about it. All these people who are administering these social services all cost something. So if you say, well, you know, it might be expensive to give all that money to people. Well, it's expensive to pay a bunch of people to be nannies for the poor. That's expensive. And they're not stupid people. They're well-educated people, generally. I mean, we're paying a lot of people who have master's degrees to look over the shoulders of poor people and try to manage their lives. And this program is saying, in Finland, is basically saying, here's $900, manage your own life. Get a job. You know, if you have to survive, you can survive on this, but it's not going to go far. This, the money goes to everybody, because everybody, you know, everybody who pays taxes, you know, gets some of it back anyway, in many cases. And, you know, somebody is suggesting in the YouTube chat room that this is even more immoral than welfare. Oh, I think they're both immoral. You know, don't get me wrong. I think it's immoral for government to even be involved in this process. But it's time to see if liberty really works. It's time to see if slimming down government by getting some of these social service workers off the backs of people. I don't know about you, but I don't like the idea that I'm paying swarms of government agents to monitor the lives of these people and know, you know, what they're spending and where they're spending it and how they're doing it and constantly desperately trying to get them to change when people don't want to change. You don't want to change. Come on, face it. If we suddenly said, hey, all middle-income people, let's just say this audience is made up primarily of people of mid-range income, all middle-income people will now have to have a monthly meeting with the government because you do receive some benefits from this government. And so we're going to have a monthly meeting with you where we're going to sit down and ask you about where all your money's going and what's happening in your life and how's your relationship with your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. And then we're going to try to steer you to make better decisions. We're going to have government make better decisions for you. And for my friend Sankey in the YouTube chat room, everybody is a collaborator in the welfare scheme already. Once again, and I know I'm not getting through in a way, once again, I don't think it's a good idea for government to have any role in charity. End sentence. Period. However, government already has an incredible role in steering people's lives and running these charitable operations. They do it terribly. And I'm willing to say, let's try an experiment. Now, what's the worst thing that could happen, my friends? The worst thing that could happen is they do it for 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever, and they go, hey, this doesn't work. We're going to have to go back to the old way of doing things, or we're going to try something new. We're going to do something else. But this isn't working. I'm okay with that. That's the idea. I mean, the whole idea was with federalism that states would try different techniques. They tried different methods and people would find out what worked and what didn't work. Unfortunately, we began channeling everything through this remote control centralized government. And then the central government then spits money back to the states and says, okay, now here's the money we took out of you. We're going to send it back to you and tell you how you have to use it. And I don't want that. I don't want government deciding how people use their money. So let's try something. You got a better idea? Send it to the government of Finland. One Finn Plaza, Finlandia, Finland. 00101010010. They have all binary zip codes in Finland, I believe. I just made that up. I don't know anything about Finland other than this article that I just read. So I'm just saying, let's try something. Is there anything we are willing to try? And I'm so excited that somebody's willing to break with the past and say, let's give this a shot. If it crashes and burns, it crashes and burns. Finland's kind of a small country. The impact is minimum, I'm sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe what happens is in Finland, they find out that some people can't live on their $900 a month or whatever, $900 plus the job they get. What if at that point, some churches start to step up and say, hey, we'll give you some help, brother. I mean, what would happen if the government wasn't there to bail you out? What would we do? What would we do if for some reason, you know, an electromagnetic pulse or something, neutron neuron bomb, I don't know, something just wiped out the federal government's ability to help people charitably. Would we all just die in the streets? Really? You think that's what would happen? You think we'd all just cave and we'd, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. The government's not helping us. I think we'll just wait. We'll just try to clear out the bodies on a daily basis and you know, have a dumpster truck drive around and pick people up. I think it's worth a shot. I think there's a chance that they may be onto something. Now, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And try something else. But I think it's cool that somebody somewhere in the world who's got a social welfare state as we do is trying something different. Anyway, that's the way I feel about it. If you can't see it my way, well, then obviously we'll just have to agree to know that you're wrong. But I'm going to be paying attention. I'm going to be following this. And I, like I said, I don't know when it kicks off, but they said sometime this year. Let me answer that question. Somebody in the chat room just said, I don't see how it's not welfare. It is welfare. Have I not yet gotten this point through? It's still bad. It's still the government channeling help to people. The government should not be in that business. Not. I don't know how I could say that any differently. All I'm saying is it's a different way of doing things that may get the government off the backs of people, force them to be a little responsible, and possibly lead to a change that would go somewhere else. And I say, let's give it a shot. Why not? Oh, you are making me sick. I'm serious. It is the lesser of two evils. That's right, Joel. It's the lesser of two evils. What we have now is utter wickedness. This is another thing that's different. See, right now what I see is we have a pyramid. It's like the government food pyramid. It's built on lies, but it is ingrained in people's minds. And what I'm saying is you've got to break down the pyramid somehow. You've got to start pulling some of those blocks out of there so the thing starts to totter. You've got to start to chip away at it. And right now, this is the first time I've seen anything, frankly, that looks like it has a chance. You know, you come to me with a proposal and you say, well, here's what we're going to do in our country. We're going to just stop having the federal government have any role whatsoever in charity. Well, good luck with that. How many legislators do you have lined up behind that plan? Guess what? In this plan in Finland, the liberals and the conservatives both supported it. I think they're all interested to see whether it's going to work or not. And what's the harm in trying? Now, if you're, you know, some of my apparently really solid, caring, conservative, constitutional friends will just go, well, there's no way it could work, so let's not even try it. Screw that. Let's try it. Why not try it? If you're going to say, well, I think we should spend the rest of our lives griping about how terrible the current system is and how immoral it is, and we should never try to do anything differently, just so we would not be deprived of the right to whine and gripe about how things are now. I would say let's try anything. Let's try anything different. Let's try giving everybody who's on welfare a mansion and 3 acres. I mean, anything. I don't think we should do that. I don't think we should do any of this stuff. But let's try anything. Now, unfortunately, as I mentioned before, the cold turkey solution, which would be my preferred solution, because if I were smoking, I know the only way I'm going to give up smoking is cold turkey. Good luck getting that through the legislature. Finland somehow has come up with something that actually got bipartisan support. And these people will now be free to spend money as they choose. How will they spend that money? And they will no longer be in the business of trying to game the social services industry by, you know, when I used to work at a Wawa food store, it was a convenience store in Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland. People would come in and they would buy things that they were allowed to buy with food stamps. And at that point, how does this work? If you bought something with food stamps, you could get change in cash. And so they would come in with like, the food stamps had like denominations on them. This has been so long. This was when I was just after college, or just in college. And they would come in with, let's say, a $20 food stamp coupon. And they'd buy $5 worth of food. And then we would have to give $15 in change to these people in cash. And then they would take that cash and buy cigarettes. So that was not a good choice. But the people who, the nice social service worker who has got a manila file with their name on it, was saying, hey, you know, this guy's, he needs food, so we're going to give him food. He wasn't buying food. So let's get them out of the business of policing that. And let's say, look, here, you get a standard income. I don't care if you buy food or cigarettes or whatever you buy with it, but that's it. You just get your $900 and that's it. We're gonna get all those people who are busy, government busybodies running your life, out of the business of running your life, and see how that works. It may not work. It may be a terrible idea, but let's give it a shot. I am really saddened by the mentality that's overtaken, you know, people even on my side of the aisle in many ways, who are basically saying, well, there's nothing we can do. We're stuck with these things and there's nothing. And but no, they don't even, it's even worse than that. Because what they do is they run for office saying they're going to fight for this and fight for that and do this and do that, when they know that they can't actually do any of it. Then they get in office and they go, oh, well, we would have done that, but that Harry Reid, oh, that Nancy Pelosi, ooh, you know, and they always have the excuse for why they can't get it done. Or those darn rhino Republicans who don't vote with us, you know. And so one way or the other, it fails. And so we have a bunch of people running for office who are at least, maybe not intentionally, but they're lying. They're lying. Anybody who's running for office telling you they're going to eliminate social welfare programs at the federal level is lying. There is no way to get that done without a complete change in Congress, supermajority in the Senate, and a president of the United States who feels that way too. I mean, we had several political candidates in the Republican field who were saying, oh, we don't want to do anything to touch Social Security, not for a long time. And we had somebody else who's saying, we're not going to do anything at all to touch Social Security. So somebody says you have to heat the water slowly to kill the frog. By the way, that frog in a kettle analogy, which is great. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this analogy before, which is basically, if you've got a frog sitting in a kettle of water, if you heat the water up really fast, he'll know that he's in danger and he'll jump out. But if you heat the water very slowly, just a degree at a time, over a long period of time, the frog will not realize what's happening and he will ultimately get cooked. Actually, it's not true. Frogs are smarter than that. Frogs will know the moment that the water becomes unbearably hot, whatever that degree mark is at 86 or 103 or whatever it is. The frog will leave the kettle and will not be boiled, no matter how fast or how slow you heat up the kettle. The only real solution is kill the frog first, then put him in the kettle. So I hate to bust that, because that's a great analogy, man. How many times have I been to like seminars where they gave that frog in the kettle analogy? There was a book called Frog in the Kettle. Oh, it was a great one. Unfortunately, it's just completely fictitious, as so many things are that people use. So there it is. There's the Finnish model. Let's keep an eye on it. See how it goes. Episode 41 of Scott Ott Podcast includes audio excerpts from Scott Ott Show, originally streamed live on YouTube, March 24th, 2016. For more information, visit ScottOttShow.com. Thanks for listening.